He's teaching in a Mennonite seminary, or he was teaching in a Mennonite seminary in Paraguay for many years. He's ordained to the ministry in a Baptist church. He has a doctoral degree in counseling. He has been a missionary in many countries, especially in the former USSR. And he actually has extensive mission works and community development in Central Asia. Peter just returned from Cuba, and he has a wife, two children, and three grandchildren. And he'll be giving our message today. So please help me in welcoming Peter Yerichik up today.
Thank you. I'm surprised she didn't say correctly my last name. Good morning. If anything wrong, talk to Jennifer, because she had the courage to invite me. We work together at the same district, and I'm so happy to be here this morning. I spent many years working with Mennonite people in Paraguay. I planted some churches and teach at the seminary. In Paraguay, we have all kind of Mennonites. Mennonites from Russia, Mennonites from Canada, Mennonites from U.S., especially from Kansas, Mennonites from Mexico, and Mennonites Paraguayan who speak Guarani. Very interesting. And the Mennonite churches in Paraguay did a great job in reaching out the national, because Paraguay is a very unique country. Officially, we are bilingual since 1960, Spanish and Guarani. Spanish is the language, the verbal language, and Guarani is from the heart. No? And it's not many national people, kind of like the Paraguayans, but all of us have some foreign roots. Like the north part mainly is Mennonite background, the southern part is mainly Ukrainian, like myself. But we've been born there and inherited. I'm kind of like a Ukrainian, but all my culture is Spanish, is Paraguayan. That if you see me using my hands to talk, that is part of our culture. But if you have your Bible this morning and would like to read with me a very familiar scripture about the in the book of Jonah, and if you want to stand up, because I not want to make you tired sitting, and I promise I won't talk too long. You know, I read some place that say, blessed are those who are speak shortly, because we'll be invited again, and I want to be invited again. Yeah? Can you stand up, please, for reading of the scripture, and then we will pray. Jonah chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. Probably you know by memory, but I want to make some reflection this morning, and we will ask that the Holy Spirit will minister to us. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will apply this word to us this morning. And we pray that you will open our spirit, our heart, our soul, that we will receive the message that you have for every one of us. Lord, when we leave this place, we want to follow your word, your instructions, and live for you. Bless our fellowship and worship to you and learn together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Very familiar scripture. And I love the book of Jonah because most of my days spent in doing mission work, different type, planting churches, evangelize, community development. And many times people ask me, Brother Peter, tell us what kind of spiritual gift you have. And honestly, I'm afraid to tell them. The only thing I have is to have courage to start something. And sometimes I get into so many problems that only my wife can support me. But that is the only gift I have. And I love to share with others the message of Christ. The book of Jonah is kind of like the introduction to Matthew 28, to Mark 16. In other words, the introduction from the Old Testament into the Great Commission. Go and share the gospel. And it's interesting that one phrase at the end of the verse 3rd say that Jonah bought his ticket on the ship and he went down. And you know what? He'd been sleeping there. And say because he tried to go away from the presence of the Lord. Go away from the presence of the Lord. When I read the book of Jonah, I kind of like thinking about the syndrome, Jonah's syndrome, the tendency, no, to develop that problem. I see the syndrome of Jonah in so many believers today in churches. Because Jonah tried to go away from the presence of the Lord. Where is the presence of the Lord? Like many times we think, like good believers, good Mennonites, we say, well, the presence of the Lord is in the sanctuary, in the temple, no? And many times we say we go and worship the Lord in the church. Well, you not worship the Lord in the car, in your kitchen, in your workplace, at school? Everywhere. But the problem these days is that we try to keep the Lord in the four walls of the church. That is the presence of the Lord. And we not go away from there. But honestly, I saw that the presence of the Lord is everywhere the sinners are. Because the mission of the Lord and the mission of the church is save the sinners, share the gospel. And the book of Jonah is very interesting because it's kind of like the introduction to Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24 or Book of Acts 1:8. That is the introduction. You see, Jonah is kind of like a symbol of the church these days. He is very egocentric. We have our God, the Lord Jehovah, and He belongs to us as a Jewish people. And we are Christians, evangelicals. We own Jesus. He is our Savior. And we own Him and we worship Him in the four walls of our church. Amen. We love our Lord. And He belongs to us. But how about Because I think the mission field of God, the Lord, Savior, is whole world. Is whole world. That is the mission field. We just came from Cuba. Amazing experience. You know, I spent, and my wife and our kids, we spent like 18 years in Eastern Europe, mainly in the former URSS countries. And I've been praying to go to Cuba because I understand the people in Cuba better than any else, because I've been living in that system for 18 years. And indeed, when the door get open, we start to pray and look for contact, and 8 people from our congregation, we went and had a wonderful time. And exactly what I've been thinking. Everything is limited these days. Per family, you buy 5 pounds of sugar per month, and have a notebook from the government, they keep record. You buy 5 pounds of rice per family per month, and that is. If you need more, you need to go to black market and cheat and pay very high price. The interesting that the believers there with all these limitations is on fire. Amazingly. And we went to the southwest part of the island, close to the sea, called Siboney. Very poor people. And we had that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the anniversary of the church. And it's hot. 100 degree, 9 o'clock in the morning. At noon, it's 120. And stay home till midnight. The good thing is the church not need windows and things like that, because the church building is kind of like, wasn't allowed to build a church building. They built it just a house with big windows open, and people sit inside and outside. We had like 250 people every meeting or more. And so many people came to the Lord those evenings we've been there, because that is the only church in whole town. And then Monday we had a women's conference. My sister-in-law been teaching women's whole Monday. And then Tuesday through Friday, we had a youth conference. And I teach every morning and then in the evening. Thursday afternoon, we went to the sea and baptized like 24 or 25 people. And it was a great testimony, because a lot of people was there, came to the beach, and we been having this baptismal service. 4 pastors together, we've been baptizing. The interesting thing, after we finished the baptism in the water, standing, and they ask Brother Peter, can you pray? And I want to pray the final prayer, and then we will go outside. And 4 young ladies came running into the water, and they say, pastors, can we surrender our lives to Jesus? I call people to the altar to receive Christ, but never in the water. Amazing. And then Friday morning, with all these young people, I challenged them, how many of you want to wake up at 4:30 in the morning? And I thought, well, every night we go so late. And I say, see how many will wake up. Large group wake up 4:30, and we have a prayer walk. We start in the end, one end of the town, and we walk through the town praying for houses, families, and then ended at the beach. It was amazing. Amazing. Well, every place we read the Bible, we see that the Lord is not the Savior of the Jewish. He is the Savior of all people, all nations. And for Jonah was so difficult to understand, because he was feeling very comfortable. Have his God and serve to his people. And this commandment to go to Nineveh and preach and share. It's interesting, the process, and what that is my major point, what I want to point out. The Lord have no problem with the nature, because when he need to perform something, he sent a storm, and the nature obey the Lord, the Creator. He has no problem with the big fish, because when the Lord tell that big fish swim and swallow that disobedient prophet, swallow him, and the fish obey the Lord and have no problem, and not chewing him, just swallow. Amen? Have no problem with those fishermen in that ship. They not know the Lord as a Savior and God. But in the midst of the problem and desperation, they start to pray to their own God. They've been willing to do something. The Lord have no problem with those fishermen in that ship. The greatest problem the Lord have is with Jonah. Jonah have good orthodoxy. When they wake up him and say, Jonah, who you are? Why we have this storm? We've been going here back and forth and never happened before. Why we have this? Must be God's sin. They've been very sensitive. And he said, oh, I am the prophet of God the Jehovah. He know his confession of faith very well. He have his orthodoxy very well memorized. But he was very poor in his orthopraxis. No? Well, to not use these big words. Kind of like the orthodoxy is what we believe we understand. No? And the orthopraxis is that need to go together, what we believe with what we're doing. That need to be always together. But most of the time happen that we believe one thing, we have good confession of faith, but we're not doing anything. The Lord loves so much the people in Nineveh that he been willing to take risk of everything. And he ordered the storm, he talked to the big fish, he talked to those men in the ship in order to move to compassion his servant. Remember the chapter 3, the prayer of Jonah in the belly of the fish? He repented. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. It's nice to pray that, Lord, have mercy on me. But how about the others? Do we willing to pray, Lord, have mercy of, in this case, of those from Nineveh? Sinners, not looking like we are. They not belong to our God. They not part of the chosen people. Do we pray with a mercy to them? How about that little bush that when Jonah was kind of like get depressed because God not obey Jonah? You see? God not obey Jonah and Jonah get depressed and say, Lord, better take away my life. Sometimes we act that way. Lord, I pray that you will give to me and answer my prayer this way. If the Lord not answer, we get depressed. We say, oh, something wrong with the Lord. Right? Many times, instead of the Lord dictating us, we dictate to the Lord. He needs to obey us because we ask him. Interesting that the Lord working with his servant in order to move him to have compassion for those who not know the Lord. Remember that little bush grow instantly and give a shade to tired Jonah and discourage. And then that little bush dry. And Jonah gets so discouraged because how come Lord have no compassion on me? Here I'm sitting in that weather like in Cuba. No, 120 degrees. And what was the answer of the Lord? You want me to have compassion of that little bush that you have and you not cultivate, and you have no compassion of 120,000 of those who not know the left hand to the right. You know, when I read the book of Jonah, I picture the church today. We look like Jonah. We are so happy what we have, the Lord, our Savior. Amen. But you know, the worst scripture the believers read wrong, and I will give you the quotation, read later, is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. That is the worst scripture read by believers. What say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9? That by grace we are saved, not because of us, but the Lord save us in his mercy, and we put a period. And the period is not at the end of verse 9. The period is at the end of the verse 10. What the verse 10 say? That he saved us for good things to do. That is kind of like my own version. That we need to be get busy and doing something if we are saved. We are not doing things to be saved. We are saved by grace, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But we are saved in order to do something that the others will come and recognize Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I always say, stop reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Read 8, 9, and 10 in period. Well, that was difficult for Jonah to understand. That is difficult for us to understand. Because the Great Commission is for every one of us. Happened that the Great Commission become the Great Omission. Most of the churches today not doing anything. And I wish I can have the power to and be able to change the world. But it's impossible. Physically and realistically it's impossible. But what I decided to do is do one by one by one. Drop after drop after drop. you can collect water in a whole bucket. Amen? I've been telling you about Cuba. It's a very poor country. And the believers, they suffer the consequences. We took used clothing, and one evening we gave to the people at the church, and there was a lot of people in the community. And we prayed before for that clothing and bless. And I believe that the Lord will touch some heart to surrender to the Lord because of that clothing. I can tell you so many stories. Maybe we will have time to tell one. But what we did this time, took money for several projects. And one, we put a small factory in that town to build cement blocks. Because can you imagine, a lot of people need to build their houses and have no cement blocks. The state brings to that town every month 200 cement blocks. Every month, 200 cement blocks. And you need to be in the list. And of course, with 200 cement blocks, you won't build a house. Well, with the Lord's help, we put that factory in with the people in the church. They will build to their families and also to those who need in the community. And will generate the expenses covered. I'm willing to do whatever to share the gospel. And if somebody will come to the Lord because of those cement blocks, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let me tell you this story. Many years in Ukraine, we've been taking containers with clothing. And here at the end of October is winter time in Ukraine. We receive a container with used clothing from U.S. I collected here in different churches and rent a U-Haul truck and move and pack a container. And when we've been unloading, a little young girl, like 12 years old, came shaking and cold, and she said, can I get some warm clothing? And I say, well, wait, I will look something. And Lera, her name, she have a green, beautiful eyes. And I look, and nothing which fits her. Finally, I saw one coat, a red coat, kind of like wool, very nice. But maybe like five sizes more than for her. And I say, Lera, the only thing I have is this red coat. And she said, it's okay, because even will cover my feet. I saw Lara wearing that coat like for 5 years. And because fit her size for many years. What happened with Lara? I gave that coat. I prayed with her. I invited her for English classes. We start at the family center there in Ukraine. And then she started to come to the Sunday school. And then one day she received the Lord as Savior. I had the privilege to baptize her. She has tremendous gift of music. She led the worship service. Well, later on she met a young man at the family center, get married, and now she and her husband and a few other young people is the in charge of worship team. How she came to the Lord? By that red coat. You know, whatever we have, we can use to touch the heart of the people. And never is too small. And never is too insignificant. We can use whatever the Lord gives to us to touch the hearts of the people. And I want to finish with this comment. The problem, the syndrome what have Jonas is the same syndrome that many churches have these days. And we need to shake of that. Move out. Because the problem is with the mathematics. The Christian evangelical mathematics. No? In the Old Testament, we've been using addition. All the Old Testament using the biblical mathematical system in the Old Testament is addition. I will show you a few of them, like Jonah. Jonah's argument was, Lord, if the people of Nineveh want to be forgiven, I wish they will come to our temple and we will add them to our congregation and they will be added to worship Jehovah, our Lord. Well, we have some reflection in the New Testament of that. Cornelius, the Roman, he was proselytized. You want to be believer? Join us. Come to the temple. We will add to you. In the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, also this good-looking black man from Ethiopia. I had friends at the university when I studied. Those Ethiopians, not black. They blue. They shine. No? And eat with their hands. He taught me a great lesson. He said, you know, Peter, I'm not using forks in the cafeteria because who knows who put them in their mouth yesterday. And I say, well, they wash. No, no, no. And I say, well, then in Ethiopia, how you eat? And he said, we eat with our hands and fingers because this is ours. I can put my own in my mouth. I learned that lesson. But the Ethiopian in the book of Acts, he came to Jerusalem in order to know the Lord. That was addition. In the New Testament, it's multiplication. Go out. And wherever you go, multiply. Here and there and there and there and multiply. And those groups multiply and there multiply. That is the mathematics in the New Testament. The multiplication. Go out. We come together to bow before the Lord and celebrate with the Lord, but we're not spending our life in the midst of the four walls. We go out, and wherever we go, we proclaim that we've been saved by faith, by the sacrifice in Jesus Christ, to do good work in order to touch some others. I try to encourage you. Look the mathematics in your church, in your life. Ask yourself, are we still adding or are we willing to take a risk and multiply? May the Lord bless you. Thank you.